Let's welcome Chris up. Chris is part of the senior leadership team, one of the clergy here at Christchurch, and Chris is going to be kicking off our teaching for this new year. So let me pray for him. We won't give a round of applause on this occasion.
No need.
Just to be clear. Father God, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for the living word that you have imparted to him for us today. May he sense the connection with your Spirit, who is the author of your word, the one who Jesus promised will lead us into all truth. May Chris so sense that connection that he will deliver words to us that will come from you and will change us. For your glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hey, it's so good to be with you this morning. Just really excited about the new term that we've got. But here's the thing. How many of you here use an alarm clock? I do. Yeah, that's quite a lot of us. There's a few of us who clearly don't need them. You're just kind of there like every morning on the moment. I wonder if we can take 20 seconds to tell your neighbor something about your alarm clock. Okay, just go for it. Okay, there we go. Time's up. We have clearly got a lot to say about our alarm clocks. So mine is this little kind of digital thing. It has the most wonderful button on top. It's called a pause or a sleep button, and it gives you 5 more minutes. And so the annoying beep happens, and then you just reach over and you like click. And what is it about those 5 minutes? They're like the most deepest sleep you can imagine. And then it goes again, and you're like, oh, tap. And before you know it, it's like 20 minutes has passed, and you're like, oh, gosh, okay, this morning's going to be a little bit more rushed, or quite a lot more rushed. Well, this morning, the alarm went off quite early, because we were here for the 8 service, and I reached over, pressed the pause button, and then thought, as 2 minutes went, and I started to rest into that deep sleep, that's a really bad idea. Don't do that. So I got up. But I was still in a rush. I went around the house, had breakfast, washed and all of that, and thought, gosh, is that the time I need to get up here? And so I was walking up the road thinking, you know what, wow, this is not a way to prepare for coming to church. I'm in a rush, I'm walking up the road. Father, I just want to acknowledge that you're here. You're here in the midst of my rushing, and I just want to still myself before you. I was still walking, so I kind of wasn't very still, but my heart started to become a little bit more still. And as I walked in here, okay, God, would you show me where you are present? Show me why I'm here, who you want to encourage through me, and through whom you want to encourage me. And I started to shift out of my rushing into, okay, I'm going to be present with people who love Jesus, and isn't that the most amazing thing? Now, we'll come to that in a moment about how we begin our days. But I want to do just a little bit of a recap. So if you've been with us for the last few months, you'll know that we joined in with the New Wine Big Read, and we engaged together in a book called The Church of Tomorrow. If you didn't do that, chat to people here. I have had the most amazing conversations with so many of you whose hearts are just stirred by this idea that God is going to do something with us that is relevant to the society that we are placed in the midst of. But so often in those conversations, the question has been, well, okay, but what does that mean for us? How are our Sundays and our Mondays and our Tuesdays and our Wednesdays and so on through the week going to be different, that we might play our part in what God is doing? That's where we've been. As we came through the summer, we were looking at how we as a community prioritize prayer in our life together and in our individual lives. And as we come into the autumn, if you were here last week, you'll have got one of these. If you haven't got one of these, do pick one up as you go out today. There's a pile on a table out there. We are going to get really practical. Okay, we're going to look again at some of these key foundational things of what it means to be church, but we're going to say, what does this actually look like in our midst as a community. And so we're going to look at how we are a community where Jesus is Lord. How we're a community of disciples that encourage one another. How we're a community that is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And how we are a community that is confident in the gospel. And as we go through that journey, we've arranged the order of that so that when we approach the Christmas season, we might each have helped each other grow in confidence to talk about our relationship with Jesus. That those who don't know him might start to get a glimpse of the exciting reality of life with Jesus. Now this Sunday, we are going to focus on, and through this week, how we as a community be one that honors Jesus as Lord. Now to do that, you can't talk about a community with Jesus as Lord without talking about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had a lot to say about the kingdom of heaven. And this morning we're going to look at four short parables from Matthew 13 where Jesus talked about the kingdom. The reason this is so important is the kingdom of heaven is that place where Jesus reigns. And so for any of us who've said, have taken that step of saying, Jesus, I accept your invitation, I want to honor you as Lord, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's why it is so important. Let's read together. Why don't we all read this, if you can see the screens? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Just two little things about the kingdom of heaven. Quickly we see that the kingdom of heaven is of immense value, more than we can comprehend. Selling all you have? Who likes the thought of that? No, not a hand up in the room. Everything. Wow, really? The same with the pearl. I'm sure that dealer in pearls had many other pearls. What was it about this one? Now, of course, Jesus is talking here about priorities. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is that place where you make Jesus Lord. Like really make him Lord, not like come into your Monday morning and say, well, I think this is quite important today, and then tomorrow, well, that's important. No, this is like the true reality that we live in, that Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and our choice that we're given is either to recognize that reality or not to. There's the choice. But I want to pause, actually, before we go too much further. It is the most amazing reality to recognize Jesus as Lord, to recognize that truth, because then we come into a place of relationship with him. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And as a people who are on that journey together, I want to pause and call us to prayer in this moment. Prayer of thanks to God for the privilege he's given us. But also, I'm just aware that in this world right now, there are at least a couple of thousand people whose lives have been totally changed in a moment with the earthquake that's going on in Morocco. And so I wonder, recognizing the privilege we have as people who can call Jesus Lord and come to him, would you join me in raising your voice? In fact, why don't we stand if you'll join me with that? Let's invite you to raise your voices for those people whose lives have been torn apart by this earthquake. We're going to take 60 seconds to invite you all, speak with every fiber of your being that God might reach them. Come on, let's just start praying. Just start praying. God, would you reach these people? Would you touch them with your peace, your love, your grace, your mercy? Would you show them? Would you reach into their pain and their suffering and let them know that you are Lord? Give them hope and a future. Console them in their grief, Father. Oh, Father, come and be with them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that as we pray, we know we join with so many others across the world who will be raising their voices to you in prayer, saying, would you be with the people of Morocco? That is the cry of our hearts this morning, Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for joining together in that. Our focus, yes, is on what God is doing here, but our focus is also always on what God is doing out there. Sometimes on our doorsteps, sometimes much further afield. Now, this idea of putting Jesus as Lord is in every context of our lives. I want to think this morning, we're going to focus in on one context, but I just want to mention four different contexts in which that happens. There we go. The first, those points where in life where we are alone with Jesus. Just you and Jesus. However that looks to you. There's no masks here. Jesus already knows everything about you. He knows who you are. He knows you. He invites you to come to him, recognizing who he is. And then invites you into relationship with him. It's one place. Another place in life is where we are gathered with people in our church family. In small numbers. A few of us. Here at Christchurch, we have a whole bunch of small communities. Of people intentionally get together and say, how can we encourage each other to be increasingly wholehearted disciples of Jesus? Those are places of relationship, of closeness to each other, of places of vulnerability and conversation and laughter and joy and tears and sadness and all of that. And then the larger context, like we are here today. This is where we're going to focus our attention this morning. What does it mean to be a people? Not where each individual over here with Jesus saying, yeah, Jesus, you're Lord. Help me to live my life with you as Lord. We should do that, of course. But what does it mean for us to be a people here, all together, where we're saying, how can we together as this community, this beautiful community that God has called together, acknowledge you in our midst, Jesus, as Lord? And then as we come towards the end of the talk this morning, we're all going to walk out those doors at the end. Well, actually, we might walk down to the crypt, depending on what the weather's doing. But we're going to go out into the communities that are out there, not here. How do we be those in those communities in a way that honors Jesus as Lord? So, different contexts. We're going to focus on this context here. Very recently, J. John, some of you might know him, talks wonderfully about Jesus. And he said this about the church. The purpose of the church is exactly as it ever was. To proclaim Christ to those who do not know him and strengthen and support those who do. Here at Christ Church, we express the same thing in different words. We say we, as the people God has called together to be Christ Church, are here for the heavenly transformation of culture and of people here in Bristol. That's why we're here. Just let that sink in for a minute. That's why we're here. Our focus is broad. What's God doing in this city? We go a bit further and we say, okay, the way we're going to do this is we're going to help people find Jesus. Those who don't know him, invite them into the reality of a conversation and a relationship with him. And then we're going to help them follow him more wholeheartedly. So anyone who knows Jesus, we're here to help each other follow him more wholeheartedly. Simple. But we're still at language that is kind of right up there, and you'd be excused for saying, yeah, okay, great, but what does that actually look like in day-to-day life and here in gatherings? So we're going to come to that very soon. Jesus said when he was talking to Peter, these words, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's Jesus' work. He builds his church. And so as we start thinking about how do we help people find Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly, we recognize in that first statement, we're here for the heavenly transformation of people and culture here in Bristol, that it is God's work. Heavenly transformation. The wonderful invitation we have is to play our part in his work. Because he doesn't do it away from us, he does it through us. If we read on a few books of the Bible later, several books of the Bible later, we read this in the book of 1 Peter. You, that's us, like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Paul read some of that right at the start. This is the work that Jesus does. He builds us together into a spiritual house. Might sound like spiritual language. You're sitting there thinking, I've got a whole load of processing to do. What does that actually mean? To be a holy priesthood? Okay, I'm still wrestling with this. What are you on about? Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Let's just take two things from this. Firstly, God designed for us to be in community. We're built together into a spiritual house. None of us was meant to be alone in this pursuit of following Jesus. We are meant to have times when we are alone, but we're not meant to be alone. So he calls us into community because as a community of living stones, we are stronger, more able to do his work. That's the first thing to pull out. The second thing here is those spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I want to think of one sacrifice, obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe that feels like a sacrifice, maybe it doesn't. But if we're going to say Jesus is Lord, then we have to be church his way and not our way. Which means when the Holy Spirit asks us to follow in particular ways and to make life decisions for him, some of those will be easy and some of those will be hard. And so the sacrifice is to say, not my way, but yours, Jesus. Now, here's where we get very practical. So you remember I talked about my journey this morning, hitting the pause button, deciding that was a really bad idea, getting up, being rushed, walking up the street, starting to pray. Do you come to church expectant that God will be at work in you and through you? As I walked out my door, I didn't feel particularly expectant. And as I got past the first and the second and the third of my neighbor's houses, I started to think, hold on a minute. Wow. God, I'm going to meet with my people. The family you've called me to be part of. Together we're going to be in your presence. We're going to be able to encourage one another as you lead us. And just that started to just fill my heart as I walked up the road. I think, wow, what an amazing privilege it is for us to be together. Wow. And so my prayer then started to shape. And it was like, God, this is a wonderful privilege. Help me to just recognize my part in this. And how are you going to ask me to be involved in that with my family? And then as I'm here and people start arriving through the door for the 8 a.m. And the same as you started to come here for this gathering here. I watched and looked at people and said, wow, God, this is us. This is family. I love these people. Wow. They're beautiful. They're amazing. And we get to be together. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? Because when we're together, God will be at work in and through us. So my first encouragement to you is to come to these times expectant that God will be at work by his Spirit in our midst. But why did you come here this morning? Did you go through a process where you said, I'm going to go to church tomorrow or next week or whatever, so that, or in order that, ... Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Now, maybe you could look at me and say, well, your answer here is you came to church because you're here preaching. that is a reason to be at church. But a better reason is to come here to be equipped together. Equipped together for what God is going to call us to in the week ahead. Because you can be in that alone place with God here and saying, God, would you please equip me? And God's saying, yeah, sure I will. I need you to be with the people who I've placed you with, because then I'm going to speak encouragement to you through their voices. And sometimes that's in your small communities. And you share encouragements to one another, and together you're like, yes, we can do what God is asking us to do. And other times that's here in these big gatherings. So have you come ready to be equipped and to play your part in equipping others? Through this week, I've had a couple of conversations that have felt really significant, and in the midst of them, I've offered to pray for people. So I've got two individuals on my mind at the moment who I'm praying for. And one of the things I came here this morning wanting to be equipped, so as I'm walking up the road and realizing, getting my headset and my heart set right towards God and thinking, I'm going to be with my people. I said, God, it would be just amazing if I could stand with someone in prayer and together we could just pray for these people. Now, I can't share their stories, and I'm certainly not going to do that on a live stream. But God knows every detail. And so one of the ways he's going to equip me is by standing with one or two of you towards the end and praying. I'd love you to pray for me. And then as I thought about my week coming, there's two opportunities there where I've got conversations where I can talk about my relationship with Jesus. I remember saying again as I'm still walking up the street, Lord, would you help me to have courage? Help me to be honoring to you in those conversations. Help me to say the right words, to share something of my heart for you. I'd love it, Lord, if just someone would pray for me that I might be equipped by you. A bit more prayer. This is how we're equipped, through each other. And then as we were worshiping at the start, and thank you so much to the worship band, it was just beautiful the way you invited us into worship together. I looked around and saw people just there giving what's in their heart to God. I feel so encouraged. I just saw expression on their face, or maybe their arms out, or something, and just thought, wow, I just see you worshiping God. And it's a bit like as we come together as a community, we're saying, hey, let me remind you who God is. And we're saying that one to another. Let me remind you who he is. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the one who created everything and invites us into a relationship with him. That's who he is. We do that for each other here. That's why we're here, equipping each other. One last thing. So, have you come expectant? Have you come ready to be equipped for what God has ahead of you? And have you come ready to be empowered by his Spirit to do that which he calls you to? In Matthew 10, we read about Jesus sending his disciples out to reach people for him, to minister to them. And he says to them, I give you authority in my name to heal the sick and to cast out demons and so on. And out they go in the authority. And they come back to Jesus and they say, hey, it worked. And they're like surprised. And Jesus starts talking to them about being in his kingdom. Okay, I thought you were going to engage with us on the whole reason it worked. It's no different today. God calls each of us to play together, to be his people, bringing his voice out to those that we are in community with. And as those people, he equips us through each other and he empowers us by his Spirit to have courage, to be confident, to be bold, to know what to say in different situations. And so often he does that by asking us to pray for each other. We're coming in to land now. Two more parables and then we will land. Let's read these together. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Oh, we've gone on to words, I think. Can we have the slide that's after the... Yeah, that one. Perfect. Thank you. The kingdom of heaven, let's say this together, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Again, two simple parables, but profound. And we start to see here that the kingdom of heaven isn't just about what happens here. We are equipped and empowered to go out there. And so we end up being a people who are sent out from here, not necessarily on our own. And this is where we encourage, if you've got connections with other people in the church, be intentional about being together in the midst of what God is doing in your lives out there, who he's calling you to reach. And when you get out there, you're going to recognize that you are in the midst of a sea of people, so many, who don't yet know Jesus. And there's people in that those communities who God is going to say to you and to you and to you and to me and to, would you go and share something of your story with that person? Because something of your story of relationship with me is going to connect with them. They're going to recognize the authenticity of your story because they know you. And so you'll play your part in them coming into a relationship with Jesus. So being the church of tomorrow, building that church, looks like us being intentional when we gather, coming expectant that God will move in our midst, in and through us. Coming ready to be equipped, to be aware of how God might equip you for what he's asking you to do. And to come ready to be empowered by his Spirit for the work that he has for you. And then, at the end of our time together, to be sent out in the power of his Spirit. As it says in the Anglican Liturgy, to live and work for his praise and glory. Simple. And in that way, we play our part in God's work of the heavenly transformation of people and culture in Bristol. And we help people find Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly as Lord of their lives, as Lord of our lives. Would you stand with me if you're able? Al and band, would you mind coming up? As I said in the midst of that, I've come to church this morning saying to God, would you enable someone here, maybe a couple of people here, to pray for me, that we can stand together in prayer? And I'm just wondering if I'm not alone in that. If I am, that's fine. I'm going to go and stand over there. And if you feel like you want to pray for me, then come and join me over there. But if you like also, well, hey, I want to be equipped for what's ahead this week. I'd love someone to stand with me. And when I say stand, we're not talking about saying, hey, what is it specifically? Just come alongside. If you're going to pray for someone, come alongside. Stand and say, is it okay? Hi, I'm Chris. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? If they say yes, then you can. If they say no, then don't. And just simply bless what God is doing in the life of that person. With a few words or with no words. So as we come back into worship, I'm going over there. It'd be lovely if a couple of you came and pray for me. If you want someone to pray with you, that you would be equipped and empowered for the week ahead, why don't you come over there and we'll all just work it out. We'll pray for each other. And if that takes us a while, that's awesome. It takes us a while. Amen.